Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. In this episode, Cancer Network's Gina Morrow spoke with Dr. James Berenson from the Institute for Myeloma and Bone Cancer Research about the potential role JAK inhibitors may play in the treatment of patients with multiple myeloma. The conversation highlighted ongoing research efforts related to the use of JAK inhibitors like ruxolitinib and how it may improve clinical outcomes when combined with agents like lenalidomide and selinexor.
So I first wanted to ask you, can you talk about what the rationale to explore JAK inhibitors in multiple myeloma?
The rationale for exploring JAK inhibitors in myeloma is the overexpression of JAK for multiple reasons in myeloma bone marrow. This results from the fact that interleukin-6, a prime survival factor in myeloma, singles through JAK. But we also know from a number of other studies there are other factors that are involved in the overactivity of JAK. The overactivity then leads to the resistance to a number of treatments in myeloma of really commonly used drugs like the immunomodulatory agents, such as lenalidomide. And we also know from work in our own laboratory that when JAK is overactive, it actually shuts off the what are called checkpoint inhibitor proteins that shut off your immune system. So you're kind of like the emperor with no clothes. You don't have any immunity and the cancer kind of overruns you. We've recently uncovered a brand new protein or cytokine, which we think is involved in this, and it completes the circle. And that work is forthcoming, but it's very exciting. And we now have blockage for that as well. So the rationale for using the JAK inhibitor is overactivity in the bone marrow and also knocking out your immune system.
Thank you so much. That's some great background. So are there any data that currently exists looking at these types of drugs for this patient population? And what agents in specifically of the JAK inhibitors are we looking at?
So clinically, the only inhibitor that's been tried is by us, and that is the JAK inhibitor known as ruxolitinib or Jakafi. This drug was originally approved for people that had a mutation of JAK, myelofibrosis, and then polycythemia. But the expansion of this drug has even moved into eczema with commercials all over the Olympics for that drug. It's also been used to tamp down overactivity of patients who get COVID, and also with graft versus host disease, in which patients undergoing the transplant, the cells from the donor kind of knock out the host. And it's really expanding. These inhibitors, other varieties are being used in a variety of autoimmune diseases, such as lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel diseases like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, and even hair loss, alopecia areata, the drugs are being used. So their use is expanding. In cancer, until we started using this Jakafi in myeloma or ruxolitinib, there really had been very little work done on it.
So what ongoing trials do we have right now that are exploring JAK inhibitors in myeloma that maybe we should spotlight?
So the use of JAK inhibitors in myeloma has been restricted to ruxolitinib or Jakafi. The original reason for doing this was simply a case, a patient who had a JAK mutation and was being treated with ruxolitinib and then was tried on a number of myeloma drugs without JAK Afi, and it did not work. But it was clear that resistance to Revlimid or lenalidomide, to which the patient had been on and failed without Jakafi, it was clear that the resistance was really relying on a number of proteins that are driven by JAK. So we figured that maybe inhibiting JAK may allow the Revlimid to work again. And sure enough, that was the case. So that led into a clinical trial and a lot of preclinical work. Clinical trial showed good success in about half of patients with this very well-tolerated pill regimen. And then we started exploring the use of ruxolitinib alone or Jakafi alone without lenalidomide and found good activity. And we also found that we could rescue patients who were failing Jakafi by simply adding lenalidomide. We've now moved into a series of newer trials, and excitingly, we're getting some pretty interesting, in a good way, results with using Jakafi in combination with a medication called selinexor. This is a drug approved for myeloma that's not had a lot of use because the doses that were being used were pretty high and toxic. But with very low doses, this in combination with Jakafi has served to be active, or proven to be active among patients with myelofibrosis. And we're now moving it to myeloma. And our preclinical data was very exciting. And we're now off and running in the clinic. And stay tuned, it's pretty exciting. And we hopefully will have some data to report next year from the trial on this, but it's a whole kind of new way to treat myeloma. It's very exciting. We're also looking at using our new biomarker, which we uncovered, called serum BCMA or B-cell maturation antigen, to make decisions clinically in patients on Jakafi. So specifically, patients who are on Jakafi and steroids and then are treated, once they fail, we add Revlimid. But we've been waiting too long because in order to find whether the patient is worsening or up or not using the traditional markers, it takes a really long time. Whereas with the new marker, serum BCMA, it's very quick. So you don't wait till patients deteriorate. As one of my patients said, the serum BCMA marker is kind of like email, and the old markers are kind of like Pony Express. You want to get the mail early so you can intervene quicker. And we hope to show that in that particular trial that we're working on. These drugs certainly, I think, have the capability to improve T cell responses among patients getting bispecific antibodies, among patients getting CAR T cells. And at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, they're anti-inflammatory from studies done in graft versus host disease and people with overwrought immune systems with COVID. So the possibility is that they'll tamp down some of the immune reactions which get too overwrought in patients with myeloma who get bispecifics, antibodies, and get CAR T cells. By using these, we can hopefully tamp them down. They won't get what's called cytokine release syndrome, neurological problems. We think these drugs may help in that regard as well, but we don't have any data on it yet clinically.
So for the trial that's open now, or this next series of trials, one, is it open for enrollment right now? So are you looking to still
accrue? So the new trials are now just open for enrollment, and we just enrolled our first patient on the trial with the selective inhibitor of nuclear export or SINE inhibitor called selinexor, a pill with ruxolitinib or Jakafi. Very, very interesting, I'll just say that. So we really want to get rapid enrollment on that trial. And the other trial just started enrollment. We haven't even enrolled our first patient in using the BCMA serum marker to determine progression among patients who get Jakafi and steroids and then fail. We add the lenalidomide. We'll be adding it quicker now with the use of the new marker, hopefully getting better results. That just started. So both those trials are going. We're also testing higher doses of ruxolitinib alone than we originally tested in another trial, original trial. So we have a new part of that, testing higher doses of that with steroids. And we hope that that is even more successful than the lower doses we've been used. I mean, the good news, these drugs are incredibly well tolerated. In fact, a lot of the initial approvals for ruxolitinib were because of improvements of quality of life. People felt better. And I think that's a big home run. Here you have a drug that's a pill that makes you feel better and actually gets rid of your cancer. We don't really get those very often in cancer drugs.
That's a perfect segue into my next question, which is talking about quality of life and safety. So what have we learned from the JAK inhibitors use and selinexor's use? What can that prior knowledge help us to learn how to mitigate any of those related toxicities for this patient population?
Side effects from ruxolitinib or Jakafi are few and far between. Occasionally, patients can get some transient anemia several months in, and then it goes away. We really haven't seen much else. Overall, these drugs can have some slight increase in risk of blood clots, like deep venous thrombosis, pulmonary embolites, pretty slight. There's some data suggests a higher risk of other cancers, specifically lymphoma, but that data is not very convincing in that regard. But secondary cancers may be some concern with JAK inhibitors in general. But other than that, very well tolerated oral med, improving quality of life, and a lot of other studies that have led to approvals by FDA. So it's pretty well tolerated. Now, the other drug we're combining with selinexor has a kind of a poor history in that the initial doses were 80 milligrams twice a week, fraught with lots of problems, low sodiums, patients having a lot of anorexia, weight loss, nausea, vomiting, poor blood counts. But we brought the dose down in this current trial to 40 milligrams. It's a whole different drug at those lower doses. And the idea is when you combine two drugs, you can give both at lower doses, synergize them, get better responses. And certainly seen that in the lab, hoping to translate that in the clinic. And we have one patient on, and I'll just smile, and that kind of will tell you what's happening. And we hope to just expand this a lot. And I think one of the kind of cool things is that selinexor makes your appetite go away somewhat, especially at the higher doses. And on the other hand, ruxolitinib gives you the munchies and makes you want to eat. So we think together it may be a good combination. Obviously, we don't have enough clinical data yet to say that for sure, though.
Really good points. I've heard a lot of physicians talk about, you know, the sequence, the good problem of sequencing problem though with multiple myeloma, with a lot of different agents available and trying to figure out which one to use where. So I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know, hopefully if these results are very positive, how does this type of combination regimen fit best into the optimal sequencing for myeloma?
Well, the question is, where will ruxolitinib sit in the sequencing of treatment of myeloma patients? Where will selinexor? Well, at this point, there's been certainly little use of these drugs, especially ruxolitinib in myeloma. We hope with more positive signal, these drugs will move further up in the algorithm, how you treat myeloma. As you know, right now, most patients are getting three or four drugs, including Revlimid, a drug like Velcade, or carfilzomib, dexamethasone, and many today are now getting an anti-CD38 antibody, either daratumumab or isatuximab. I, for one, don't believe every patient should get four drugs. I think we're killing the system with the cost of these drugs, and I don't think we're benefiting that many patients. And I certainly would rather get a pill that makes me feel good if I know at the end of the day that my survival is going to be better, and as we like to say at the Institute, live long, live better, live longer. So it's not only longer, it's better. What is your quality of life? And nicely, we have really the best survival data in the world in this clinic. We just updated it a few weeks ago. It's even better. We haven't published that yet, but it's coming.
Perfect. Thank you. Are there any kind of next steps for, let's just say there's like a HCP or even a patient that's perhaps looking to enroll in one of these studies? What information would you like to tell them?
Well, call me 310-420-9649, or you can email me at jberenson@berensoncancercenter.com, Berenson for Berenson spelling. Happy to talk to you about it, but basically these are patients who failed other drugs. Usually it's lenalidomide or another immunomodulatory agent, a proteasome inhibitor, which is either carfilzomib or Velcade, or more uncommonly Ninlaro or is exazimid. And they, in some cases, have to have seen daratumumab or isatuximab, but some of the trials don't even require that in order to be on the trial. But you have to fail two or three prior regimens. So this is not a frontline treatment. Although, interestingly, I do have one woman who has a JAK mutation. I've treated with the JAK inhibitor, the ruxolitinib alone, for a number of years. She's doing great and responded nicely to it. And it's been very well tolerated, except for she doesn't like the weight gain, which you can see with it. But that's pretty rare, actually, clinically, but she's got it. But I think that, again, these are previously treated patients who are now failing their therapy.
Wonderful. Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to share today, either about just the research of JAK inhibitors and myeloma or anything about either of these trials?
Well, I think the future is bright for JAK inhibitors because they're pills, they're well tolerated. And my colleagues kind of seen that or explored that yet. But I think once they do, and especially as we begin to combine them with a lot of other drugs, which we really are just starting to explore now, we're going to see big increases in the use of these drugs to treat a variety of cancers. In my case, what I do is multiple myeloma. I also think, though, the new targets we're working on related to the JAK pathway, the JAK inhibitors block, I think those are going to be big blockbusters over the next few years. But that's, you know, stay tuned. We're not quite there, certainly in the clinic. In the lab we are, but the clinic we're not there. We're just starting.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.